Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Miller.
If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to a couple passages of Scripture. The first one's going to be Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, put a marker there. Then flip over to Romans chapter 8. Put a marker there. So Romans 12, Romans 8, mark those places. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and open up, keep it open. We'll get to that in a second. So Romans 12, 8, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll get to that in a second. We've been in a series since, I guess it was late May, early June, called Core Values, talking about what is the foundation, greater things, how do we move into it, what are the core values of the house here, specifically at Legacy, and we've been walking through those things for us that are non-negotiables. We've had several different, speakers and stuff like that have kind of interrupted at different points. But everything, I think, all the speakers that we've had from Brian and Drew last week, how many people here with Brian and Drew? Wasn't that fantastic? We're going to continue to, I encourage you, if you didn't get a chance to listen to them, go online. It's up there. Make sure you listen to it. If you listen to it once, keep listening to it because there's some things that God's doing through that. It was really good to be able to have Richie with us. It was really good to have Clint Davis with us. And so all those things were reinforcing this. But today I want to talk specifically, another one of our core values for here at Legacy is this, is that God works in me to transform me. Let me hear you say that God lives in me to transform me. So a lot of the work that we're talking about, even this testimony was, we're supposed to go outward, that God works through my life in order to transform the world. And that's absolutely true. Right? God doesn't need your heart to be transformed in order for him to use you. He used a donkey to transform the world, right? He spoke through Balaam's donkey, okay? God is much more interested in transforming your heart before he's interested in what he can do through your life. Because ultimately, he is in charge of it all. He's all powerful. He could do anything he wanted. Right, he's just chosen by his will to co-labor and partner with us to bring transformation in the world. But the greatest work of transformation that's done is not out there in the street. The greatest transformation is done here. Why don't you point to your own heart? Like you are his masterpiece. You're his favorite subject. You're the one that before the foundations of the earth laid out, he had you in mind. All right, he had his plans. He says, I got a purpose and a plan for you. Not plans to give you harm or bring disaster, but plans to give you a hope and a future. So the Lord himself wants to transform you. That's one of the reasons he sent Jesus, was to return us back to a place where we're one with him. And so when we talk about a core value here for Legacy, before and because so much of our ministry, again, we're a training and equipping house. What does that mean? We want to train and equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the work of transformation, of going outside these four walls and transforming the world to look like heaven. That's an absolutely true statement, all right? And that is a core value for us. But I'm telling you also, it's so important for us to know, how's he transformed me? Because there's been many people that have been sent into ministry according to their gift or their calling, but they were never transformed on the inside out. And what you end up seeing is people who have big ministry impact that all of a sudden they have a private moral failing that becomes public, right? Character matters to God, right? He can accomplish lots of things out there, but it first begins within here. So when we're talking about transformation, we need to understand this. God lives in me to transform me. God will continue to transform me into who he created me to be as I actively follow him and pursue his presence. I am a brand new creation. Let me hear you say, I am a brand new creation. So we're going to kind of unpack what this looks like here this morning. And I wrote down some bullet points because there's some heady thoughts that I want to really be intentional about walking this through. And so I want you to really listen to me with your spirit, not just your natural mind. So you've probably heard it said, probably by me and some other people, that you are not a physical being having a spiritual experience, but you're a spiritual being having a physical experience. Okay, this is a true statement because, and I could go through all the scriptures that talk about this, and we're not going to do that right now. You can go study that. But God is spirit, but he created a physical realm, okay? So you first are a spirit, right, that's joined with the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, who has a mind, a will, and an emotions, right, that is within a physical body. You're actually having a physical experience, okay? This is a true statement, but it's actually incomplete. So God created you spirit, soul, and body with an intended design within that order. I've taught on this a lot. Lloyd and Sharon will be going through spirit, soul, body in the fall where you can unpack a lot of these different things. But I want to talk about this in the context of transformation. Your soul and your body were never meant to lead your being. Your soul and your body were never meant to be the lead of it all. Whenever Adam and Eve were created, they were created in a perspective where their spirit was joined in perfect union with the Holy Spirit, which meant their mind, their thoughts, their will, their emotions were all in perfect alignment with the one who had created them because their spirit was being sourced directly from the spirit of life. Their physical bodies, therefore, were created to be eternal and live forever. So God said this, in the garden there's two trees. We know there was more, but specifically in this context, talking about source, God has given us a choice. And so he says you can eat of the tree of life. Let me hear you say life. That this is his constant source, like I was created by you, I was redeemed by you, I'm being sourced by you. I don't need any other. This whole aspect of you won't relent until you have it all, it's not because he's on an ego trip. It's because he knows you created you and he loves you so much that he knows how he created you and he created you to only receive from his spirit of life. And he knows that if you receive from anything else other than his spirit, it will kill you. And because he loves you, that's why he says, I'm not going to relent until I have it all because I want you to be whole. I want you to be alive. I want you to fulfill the purposes that I have for you. Yes, but it's just about this relational wholeness, this physical wholeness. And so he tells Adam and Eve, there's this other tree, though, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, knowledge doesn't bring you life. Only experience with life brings you life. Okay, information will never make you alive. And he says, the moment you eat of that tree, you'll die. Well, how many people realize that Adam and Eve didn't die physically in that moment? This should tell you that you're not a physical being having a spiritual experience, right? Because their spirit died the moment they disconnected their spirit from God as their source. And then what happened? Because their spirit was meant to be connected with them, their mind, their will, their emotions, their soul, and their physical body, which were meant to receive information coming down, the knowledge of life, what that was, all of a sudden their minds began to be perverted. Their thought processes began to be perverted. All of a sudden you start to see fear. How do I know it was fear? They were naked in what? Because why? They're no longer covered by the spirit of life. Now they're saying there's something that's missing inside of me, and that's true. It was the presence of God. Okay? So you were meant to be spirit, soul, and body. Your soul and your body were never meant to lead the pack. So when we're talking about transformation, we're talking about transformation of not just the moment that you were born again in Christ. That was you are suddenly alive. Your spirit suddenly reconnects to God as your source of life, and you are alive. Now your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions can be transformed back into the image of his mind, his will, and his emotions. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. So this is so important foundationally for us to understand what transformation is about. This is not about behavior modification. Too often in church, we just said this, if you'd stop behaving that way and start behaving this way, then you would be transformed. No, you're not. You're only play acting. You're only pretending. You're not going back to the source and changing what is leading you. You can be born again and yet not be led by his spirit. Much of deliverance is this. I'm being led by the wrong spirit. Yes, we have to cast out demons and devils and all that stuff. That's true. But I'm telling you, much of deliverance is what have I willed to lead me? And so this whole song of you won't relent until you have it all, and you have all of my heart. This is my will saying this, as I'm surrendered to you as my spirit. I'm meant to be led by you. Your soul includes your will, but only so that you can choose which spirit you will join your spirit to and follow. Which spirit are you going to join your spirit with and follow? Whatever spirit you join yourself with will inform you of how you think, how you will, and how you have emotions, and how your physical body will actually live it out. Adam and Eve might have lived another 1,000 years, but it took it 1,000 years because initially they were created perfect to live eternally. But over that period of time, the decay of not being sourced by the source of life broke down the physical body to the point now when people are born into this world, the life expectancy is much, much shorter, right? What does Jesus do? He's returning, he's restoring us to a place of actually connectivity to him that it will actually impact not just the way we think, but physically how we live. We're designed to live stronger than we actually have lived because of the source that we're called to be in connection to. So your soul includes your will, but that's only so you can choose which spirit you will join your spirit to and follow. Which spirit are you going to get instructions of your being or for your being from? And why is this again? Because God has designed us to become one with him. You were designed. The nature of your design was to be one with him. Here's an interesting fact. A lot of times people will reject God and say this, I'm not going to be led by a supreme being. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. I'm my own person. I'm not going to submit to any other one. I'm going to do it my way. And the Lord goes, all right, well, I will honor your choice and let you do you. But here's the challenge. The reality is, the deception is this. You can't actually lead yourself. Because by the very design of who you are, let me give you a different idea. It would be like a laptop saying, I no longer need the power cord. I've got a battery that lasts me a long time. I've got lots of data and information on me. I've got a programming operating system. I can connect to the wide world web. I can get all kinds of information. I can continue to be an AI that is growing. I don't need this power cord of source. I now am the source because I've got the source code. But what's going to happen to that battery? It's going to die. Don't matter how smart you are, how gifted you are, how much access you have to more information. Doesn't matter the artificial intelligence that's out there. If you're not connected to the right source, you will eventually die. So what is this? You have to be connected to the proper source. This is also why this, think about this, that hacking viruses, all this different stuff. We live in a digital age now where you can't just jump online and click on anything you want to because you don't know if there's something behind it's got malicious heart software and things like that that can infect your system. So at the same time, I can say, hey, I don't need God's filtration system of how to think. I don't need his antivirus. I'm going to do me. I'm smart. I've got this thing figured out. And all of a sudden, we start connecting to different thoughts, different schools of thought that are out there that are not his thoughts. And suddenly, we're infected with a virus. The reality is you're always meant, and I'm just going to use the terminology that the Bible does, you're always meant to be a slave to something. The difference is this. When you're in Christ, okay, I'm actually deeply connected. I'm tied to, I'm dependent upon my master who created me, who loves me, right? Who knows me and has the best intentions for my life. I give my life over to him. But if you're not going to give your life over to him, and you say, but I can do this on my own, you are giving your life to something else that will influence you. Okay? And it's a demonic spirit. And we spend a lot of time saying, well, we try to name the litany of demonic spirits. I really don't care what all the names of the demonic spirits are. That really doesn't matter. I've got the name of Jesus. Here's the point. It's all an antichrist spirit that's trying to rule your life. Okay? So if it's a political spirit, it's a religious spirit, it's a fearful spirit, it's Leviathan or any of the other ones that are out there, they're legit. Like we can see the influence of them. All I need to know this, the moment I connect into Jesus as my source, those things lose their place of influence. I'm being transformed, okay? So look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 20. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually part of Christ? Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is the part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? Now, this is obviously talking about sexual sin. But listen to what it says. For the scriptures say the two are united into one. Verse 17. But the person who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Let me hear you say one spirit with him. So greater than what you join your body to is what you join your spirit with. If you're not joining your spirit with his spirit, you will join your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body to things that will kill you. Even if in the moment it looks like it's bringing you temporary life. That's why the religious spirit is a dangerous thing, because it has a form of godliness without any power. Because I've joined myself to this thing, and it feels good, it looks good, and I'm doing the right motions, but it's not actually bringing me life. It's still the knowledge of good and evil, right? So the person who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18, so run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. Why is that? Because it's spirit, soul, and body impact that sexual sin has to do with, okay? You're not just joining your body. How many times, if you've ever heard of soul ties, anybody heard of that terminology, soul ties? Well, what happens is when I take my mind, my will, and my emotions, and I become one with something, you are meant to have a soul tie to Jesus. Not all soul ties are bad. A soul tied to Jesus is the right soul tie. I've submitted my mind, my will, emotions to him. Whatever I tie my body to, right, is going to impact me. I've tied my body to Jesus because I'm choosing by an act of my will to join my spirit and be led by his spirit, which then therefore informs my mind, my will, emotions, which then therefore impacts and influences my physical body. Are we okay with this? Verse 19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God brought you to with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Before we move on to this, it's important to say this. It's not about behavior modification, but character also doesn't matter. So when we come to Christ, often the first levels of transformation have to do with the way that we think that influences the way that we act. Okay? There is an expectation of holiness and purity in the body of Christ. It can't be. I've talked to some leaders. Like, I'll just give you an example. It doesn't matter the sexual sin, but that just happens to be an issue, whether it has to do with homosexuality, has to do with transgender, or it has to do with heterosexuals having sex outside of marriage. It really doesn't matter. It's all the root of the same thing. And saying, well, the grace of God has saved me. That's true. Are you living saved? Well, no, he set me free, so I'm free from the bondage of sin. Yeah. Right? Well, I can just do me. This is how he created me. No. He actually, it's true. He created you to have intimate relationship within context. Yeah. You just have an intimate relationship outside of the context that you were designed for. Yeah. We're not afraid of sex in the church. We're glad the kids are out of here right now, right? But we're not afraid of talking about sex in church. Why? Because God actually designed that within context of covenant and intimacy. But outside of that covenant, it's going to bring death. So whatever you join your spirit to. So someone can choose to reject God and say, I will make my own path and do it my own way. But the reality is, by rejecting God, they're either knowingly or unknowingly opening themselves to the demonic realm, listen to this, to fill the void God designed to be filled by himself. I'll read this again because it's important when we're talking about transformation. The reality is that when we reject God, we're either knowingly or unknowingly opening ourselves to the demonic realm to fill the void that God designed to be filled by himself. That's what transformation's about. Initially, I'm transformed into his image, yes, not just about behavior, it's about source. What am I receiving? Who is filling that place that God designed only for himself? So when you become one spirit with death, death is reproduced into your soul, into your body. Why did Adam and Eve die? They spiritually replaced God's spirit as their source of life, and the result was reproduction of death into their mind, their will, their emotions, and into their physical bodies. Eventually, their bodies died, but their son in the first generation kills his brother. Why? Because whatever you connect your spirit to will reproduce itself in your life. And we've made this about behavior modification rather than source. Somebody comes in and they're out of whack in their behavior. I'm going, who's your source? Let's just cut to the chase. Who's number one in your life? Are you seeking first the rule and reign of God in your life? Well, yeah, I am. Well, it doesn't look like it. Because you're coming to me because you're dealing with these issues. Maybe it's a point of repentance, which we're going to get to in Romans chapter 12 in a second. It's time to renew your mind. It's time to change the way that you think. Change your source of life so that you can renew how you think that will change the way that you live. So through Adam and Eve's rejection of God as their source, they passed on a disconnection instead of a connection to their children and ultimately to humanity. Right? This is what they reproduce. They reproduce death. So whatever you join, look in your life. If in your family, a lot of times we talk about generational iniquities, and we're like, well, in my family, you know, alcoholism is an issue or anger is an issue. It's because we're reproducing something that's a level of disconnection. This is why it's not about, well, I just cut off every generational iniquity in Jesus' name. It's not a magic statement. It's not the genie in the bottle. If I just slap Jesus' name on it, it's all of a sudden everything's going to be fine. No, when you say in Jesus' name, are you actually putting your heart connected right back to him? When you and your generation say, I see this thing I've inherited from dysfunction, and I no longer want to live in that generational curse, but now in my generation, I'm actually going to rejoin my spirit with his spirit. Now what does the next generation get? Connection. The ability to actually choose him. Not be disconnected from him. Does this make sense? So it has tangible impact and influence. So Jesus became flesh in order to reset the intended design to order for humanity. Jesus became flesh. Remember, God is spirit. Okay, he became flesh so he could reset your and my created design. Because the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, disconnected, it perverted the design of humanity. So you're automatically born being soulish. You're automatically born being sinful. Okay? Jesus says, that's not my intended design for you. I'm actually going to come become flesh. Yes, there's a price to pay, but the price to be paid is so I can reset you back to a spirit, soul, and body. And here's the reality. We're not being reset back to Adam and Eve. This is important. Why? We have something Adam and Eve did not have, a resurrected Jesus. Does that mean that then they had something less than? No. Right? It just means we have something access that's more. How do I know this to be? In 1 Corinthians, it says that you have become a brand new creation. The old has passed, the new has what? It's come. There's a new design that's actually come. It's a brand new DNA. It's this point where it actually says, Jesus became the firstborn among many new brothers and sisters. Okay? So you were being reset something greater than even Adam and Eve have, I think. Not they were less than, but we just have greater more. God always goes from glory to glory to glory. Do you hear what I'm saying? So whenever you think, well, I just hit the reset button, I can be like Adam and Eve, I don't want to go back to that garden. I want access to what they have, and I do whenever I'm born again inside of him. There's a greater reality. Do you understand that Jesus said this? John the Baptist is the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets. Do you know that includes Adam and Eve? But he says the least in the kingdom, those who would become born again through him, are greater. Why? Because you now have a resurrected Christ. You have a brand new DNA. There's something. In fact, when you were born on the planet and you were born again, There's something that became into existence that the world had never seen before, and that's the uniqueness of you. It's important for us to step into this. Let me just read for you out of Romans chapter 8, once you flip over to there. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation because it's easy to understand. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, and because you belong to him, let me say I belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses, the efforts of man, was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law or humanity could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. So this is what we're talking about. Jesus is hitting the reset button back to be able to receive fully from his Spirit. Verse 4, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about the sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and to peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. Let me stop here real quick. He's referencing an old nature. If you're born again, say, I am. Okay, so this is an old nature. You had a sinful nature. He's referencing a past experience for you that you were born into this world. Once you became born again, your sinful nature was actually crucified with Christ. This is why you got to get on the cross and die if you're not born again yet, right? That nature has to die so that when Jesus is resurrected, you're resurrected with him into a brand new nature. So those who are still under the control of sinful nature can never please God, but you're not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That ought to rock you. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this past. I'm struggling with old decisions. I'm struggling with a demonic spirit that's trying to influence me. That old sinful nature is trying to bark at me again. I'm struggling. This is the verse you need to remind yourself. But the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of me. If it could raise him from the dead, what does that mean for me now? I don't raise myself from the dead. He does. I don't walk out of sin on my own. I walk out of sin with him because my nature's changed. When the temptation comes to you, we've misused this verse. He says he never gives you more than you can handle. He's talking about that in context of temptation. Well, I've got lots of stuff going on in my life. I thought he wouldn't give me lots of trials. He's going to give you trials and tribulations. It's going to happen. But he's with you even to the end of the age. What he's saying is there's no temptation that comes your way that's beyond your ability and your will to say, I choose the Holy Spirit over this temptation. We've got to remove excuses. We've got to talk plainly in this age because we're in a holiness age. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit and dropped dead. I never thought I'd actually say this from the pulpit before because I don't want there to be a spirit of fear that comes into this. The result of that was the fear of the Lord entered into the church. Not because God's looking for people, he can bzz, bzz, bzz. Not at all. Not one bit. But at the same time, I don't want to lose the holiness factor in this thing. If I continue, how much grace has God extended us, right, in our failings to come back to him, and we keep pushing away from him. And he's going at some point. You're going to push yourself so far away from the ability for you to choose to walk into the grace I'm still chasing after you with. Room changed, didn't it? This is a serious thing. This is not about behavior modification. This isn't about telling the people how sinful they are. This is saying this: stop joining your spirit with another spirit. You have the ability, because by the grace of God, he's given you free will to freely choose him or to freely reject him. And I just feel it in my spirit this morning. This, all the worship said, it's like refiner's heart, refiner's life. Come to the altar. Like, here it is. Are you willing to be transformed completely and fully by him? Amen. Then it's time to let those things go. Yeah. It does not mean that the temptation's not going to be a big temptation. We think all of a sudden the fact that I'm being tempted by something means that I fell into sin. No, Jesus was tempted in every way you're tempted, and yet he was without sin. Means every single weight of what you have felt in your temptation on your weakest moment, Jesus actually knows what that feels like. Yeah. And he doesn't look at you and say, shape up. He goes, no, girl, man, I'm right there with you. Amen. You can walk out of this. Listen to my spirit. Amen. I haven't given you more than you can handle. That's not more than you can handle. Because if you choose me, you can do all things through the Christ who gives you strength. Nothing's impossible to those who believe that he is who he says he is, that he'll do what he says he's going to do. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, it's time for us to be transformed. It's time for us to enter in and stop playing patty cake with a sinful nature. And if you need, let's say this, and if you need help, we're going to walk with you. This is why you're part of a body. We're not religious around here. People who struggle with sin doesn't freak us out. We go, hey, we're with you. Let us walk with you. Let us draw you in. Let us love you. Let us add our strength to you. Let us add our encouragement to you so you can be transformed into the image of Christ. Because I promise you this, if you continue to pursue him, that thing will be broken. Absolutely, it will be broken. Why? Because Jesus paid it all. It's a lie from the pit of hell that says this: I will always struggle with being an addict or sexual sin or this because I have this nature that keeps barking at me. No. That nature is no longer your nature. In the same way that Jesus was tempted by the devil, you will be tempted by the devil. And in the same way Jesus was without sin, you will be without sin. Why? What is sin? It's absence of God in the human heart. Go to Spanish. S-I-N. Without. Sin is without God. But if he's taken that sin nature out of you and he's placed his nature in you, you're no longer in sin. You're with him. Do you hear what I'm saying? And this is the gospel message that they need to hear out there. Do you hear what I'm saying? Standing on a street corner and saying, turn or burn, you're going to hell. It's not about not going to hell. It's about becoming who he made them to be in the first place. The Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. That's a present tense thing. In this moment now, as I can say, by my will, I've connected my spirit to his spirit. So now my mind, my will, and my emotions are in alignment with his. Now life is coming into my mortal body right now. Amen. It's flowing into my body even right now. So although it's first about transformation from an old mindset, an old sinful pattern, an old patterns of the past, it's about actually being transformed into his image. This is what maturity looks like. Spirit, soul, and body, how am I being transformed? Flip over to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 out of the Holman Christian, and then I've got a couple other versions I want to read to you about verse 2. We use this a lot around here, and we should, because this is a foundational piece. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Let me hear you say, present myself. Okay, so notice, you're presenting yourself in order to be transformed. You're recognizing a weakness within you, and you're presenting it to God as an acceptable sacrifice. You're realizing, I can't save myself, I can't think right, but if I present myself to you, I actually am transformed. Sacrifice is transformed into what God wants. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your what? Spiritual worship. Let me hear you say spiritual worship. Why is this? Your spirit, your soul, your body, you're a spiritual being having a physical experience with a soul sandwiched in between it. Okay? So this is not about in the physical realm just how I worship him. You can have the form of worship, the form of godliness, but if it's not your spirit being presented fully to him, it will actually always fall short. Okay? We're not looking for actions alone. We're not looking for a mask. We're not looking for play acting. We're not looking for religion in this place. What we're looking for, can you present your spirit to him, all of who you are? Can you just give it over, not hide a single thing to him? Can you just say, I'm surrendered completely to you, that I'm seeking first the king and his kingdom above all else? I'm just seeking that. When I do that, here's what I do know will happen. Your mind, your will, your emotions, and your body will follow suit, and blessings will begin to flow into your soul. It happens every single time. It's a simple pattern. Now, I'm married to a counselor. We need people to walk us through steps of sanctification. Because we've got all kinds of stuff that will jumble the process. We need people with godly counsel, godly wisdom. We need spiritual fathers and mothers who can point things in our life to say, hey, let me show you how to mature in those things. This is absolutely true. But let me tell you what all that entails. I've surrendered my spirit to the Spirit of God by an act of my will. Nothing else will satisfy other than the Spirit of Jesus. And the devil can't do a He can't do a single thing about that. See, spirit of self-control, no temptation. Do I understand? It don't matter how much he yells at you, screams at you, or throws stuff at you. When you've said in your heart, I'm his, there's no temptation. Verse 2. So do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed. Let me hear you say transformed. Same word as metamorphosis. When a caterpillar is metamorphosized, in, I don't know if that's a word, but it goes through the process of metamorphosis into a butterfly. That's what transformation is. A butterfly cannot become a caterpillar anymore. Right? This is the word he uses for you and I. You're not changing in my sinful nature and out of my sinful nature, in and out. No. You were transformed into a brand new DNA. Now, you can choose by an act of your will to put on your old grave clothes and be the walking dead. What, you want to know why zombies have got such a pull in our culture? Because the spirit of death has been edified in our culture at such a level that it's reproducing in our entertainment. Like, should I not watch zombies? That's not what it's about. It's saying, be an observer. What is there life or is there death being reproduced? So, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern. Let me hear you say discern. This is a spiritual sense. This is not a man soulish sense. This is not understanding in my mind. This is discernment in my spirit. You can only discern spiritual things by the Holy Spirit. You cannot discern spiritual things by using your human mind or the wisdom of this age. That's why when God does things, it looks foolish to those who are not saved, because they cannot discern because their spirit is not connected to the Holy Spirit. So they can't discern, but you know what they can discern? They can discern what the enemy's doing. They can reproduce that place. But this is saying this, so you can discern, what does that say? The good, the pleasing, and the perfect will of God. So I might discern according to my spirit. Let me read you out of the New Living, the Passion, and the Message. I like the way these take verse 2. It says, New Living Translation, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. The Passion says this: stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. The Message says this: don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. The point of transformation in this context, renewing the mind, is so I might mature into the perfect image of who Jesus created me to be. You can read Romans chapter 6 another time. I'm going to skip over that right now. So it's first about being transformed in my mind, my will, and emotions. But it's not about returning to Adam. We talked about this. But instead being transformed like Jesus. Jesus was the firstborn among new creation or many brothers. Let me read that verse. Romans 8:29. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. Let me hear you say, become like His Son. So that the Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We still carry the same mandate, though. We may have something greater than Adam and Eve did, but we still carry the same mandate, which is what? Be fruitful, multiply, take dominion until the kingdom of heaven has completely covered the kingdom of this world, looking like Him. Everywhere we go, we do have this mandate. Each born-again person is a never-before-seen creation on the planet. So you take the DNA of Jesus and you mix it with the unique purpose and design that God set for each person. This is what I want to finish with, because I want you to leave you with this. Each born-again person is a never-before-seen creation on the planet. God took the DNA of Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, and He mixed it with the unique purpose and design that God set for each individual person. You're a unique person. Something Drew Neal said last week that really resonated in my spirit when we talk about identity. We really do edify talking about, you know, God the Father, and you're a son or a daughter. You're a child of God. And that's certainly a part of your identity. But it's actually an incomplete version of your identity. We're all children of God, which means we have all access to our Father and His resources. We're all part of a body of Christ, which means we have a corporate responsibility together. But there's something that goes beyond this. If you don't complete the mission that God has for you, it won't be completed. You're a son. If you're born again, say, I am. If you're not yet, I encourage you today be born again. Because this message is also for you. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. If you're born again, you have access. You're a child of God. But then, what is the purpose and plan that God has uniquely for you? How did He design you with your gift mix, with your thought process, the way He designed you? What does that look like? He designed you with perfection. You're God's masterpiece, it says at the end of Ephesians. He says you're His masterpiece, created in advance for the good works He created you for. What's this telling us? I'm not here to perform for God, but what it does tell me is this. When I become born again and I'm transformed and my character becomes like His character, the next step is this, is I uniquely shine in who He created me to be. Do you understand that? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all write a gospel of Jesus. But there was something unique about the way God had created each one of those four men. That when the Holy Spirit distilled through their reformed mind, their redeemed mind, will, and emotions, and they begin to, in partnership with the Holy Spirit, write the gospels, you get a unique picture of who Jesus is through these four men. It's all talking about the same God. And there were some elements that were common. But there was also specific things. Luke being a Gentile. Doctor that's different than Matthew, who is a Jew and who's writing to the Jewish people. It's the same Jesus, but there is this distillation of the Spirit of God inside of them that had a unique flavor that impacted people differently. Who has God created you to be? That the uniqueness of who He's made you to be, this transformation that you're stepping into, that as you partner with the Holy Spirit, the distillation of the Spirit through your mind, your will, your emotions, and through your body, all of a sudden becomes this unique expression that the planet needs to see. You're not like anybody else. That's why I'm not trying to be Robert Emmon or Jack Taylor or Bill Johnson or anybody else. I'm not trying to be my father. I'm trying to be Jay Miller. Who has he made you to be? And I felt the love of the Father this morning was, yes, call us into a place of holiness. But here's why. If you're not walking in a place of holiness, you'll never become the perfect version of who God made you to be. So not just about fleeing from sin. No, position your life. Say this, I am fully over to you. I didn't create myself. I didn't write a book about my life. He did. Before he knit you in your mother's womb, he what? He knew you intimately. If you don't become you, no one else will. And you will rob the planet from a blessing of God. And you'll rob yourself from being free. So why don't you stand up with me? And ultimately, finding my purpose is not about me. It's still all about him. I just get the blessing of his purpose. So Jesus, we just ask you, come Holy Spirit. It's right where you're at. Just ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me this morning? Just listen to his voice. What are you saying, Holy Spirit? How are you wanting to transform me? It all begins with, have you been born again? If you haven't been born again, 95% of this message does not pertain to you. So be born again. I'm not having you ask to come forward, just in your heart. If that's you and you're ready to give your life fully, to say, Jesus, I surrender all. Transform me. Make me a brand new creation. Make me to be who you called me and created me to be. I'm going to stop trying to be the lead of my own life. It may be this, I by an act of my will, I repent of giving my spirit to any other spirit, of becoming one with any other spirit other than the Holy Spirit of God. I just repent of that right now. And instead, as an act of my will, I choose to join my spirit with the Holy Spirit so that I might step into perfect alignment. A spirit, soul, and body. That Jesus, the way that your mind works, your will works, your emotions work, that once again would be the way that my mind and will and emotions comes into full alignment. That my body is your body. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I give myself fully to you. Have your way inside of me. Reveal your heart to me. I just feel like there's some in this room right now. This is going to be a process over the next 24 hours. Is going to become a tangible manifestation. You're going to begin to experience things that are going to be brought to the forefront of your thoughts, things that were subconscious thoughts, things that were old memories, and they're going to be brought to the surface. And at first, it's going to seem like the enemy is trying to once again tempt you with something. In reality, it's the Holy Spirit that's shaking things out because he's taking you at your word right now. If you meant what you said, that you're giving himself to him, then he's fully given himself to you, and he won't relent until he has all parts of you. And any part of the world, any part of a demonic spirit, any part of an old way that still has its part in you, he's not going to relent until he has taken all that out. Because he loves you that much. So be prayed up, be ready. Jesus was tempted in every way we are tempted, and yet he was without sin. And I just want you to know right now, this part of deliverance for you is going to be stepping into the reality of never again will the demonic world have any influence over me. It's done. There's others in this room right now, I can just sense it, that you've gone through this process. You holy, man. You walk in holiness. You walk in intimacy. You really have put yourself to being transformed, spirit, soul, and body. But there's been this area where you've been holding back the unique design of who you are to Him. And it's time to say, Lord, every part of me, the unique design that you made me to be, I'm going to stop withholding that for myself, and I'm going to fully give it over to you. Every gift, every talent, all wisdom, everything that you walk in, that all of a sudden you're saying, Lord, I'm giving myself over to your purpose. And I just prophesied tonight that you're going to be visited by the angel of wisdom. Be ready for it. I'm telling you right now, those that are in this room, that you're being touched right now, you know it. Wisdom is going to be presented to you, much like that he was to Solomon. But I'm going to remind you, you have something Solomon didn't have. The resurrected Christ inside of you. And he's going to present you with a choice. Will you give your purpose on the altar of sacrifice and trust him to lead and guide your life in every area? There's some of you that have been hidden. You're no longer going to be hidden. You're going to be brought to the forefront to be a light for him. There's others that you've been leading from the front, and I hear it very clearly. The Lord says he's going to take you into a time of actually being a counsel to those who are being pushed into the forefront, which means you're actually going to come out of the limelight. But it's not because he's pulling you out of the limelight because of you've done something wrong. He's actually elevating and promoting you to a place of a father or a mother that's going to allow you to elevate children into the place of their prominence. And we just thank you, God, what you're doing right now. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynb.com.